Good morning again, everyone. If you look at the title's Upside Down, You're Turning Me. A little bit of trivia. Who sang that song?
Diana.
Gold Star. One of my favorite songs. But now we're going to shift into another medium of secular music, if the Lord will indulge us for a second. February 7th, 1964. Does anybody know why that day is significant? February 7th, 1964. Some of us are like, 1964? It's actually almost 20 years before I was born too, but anybody? 2 days before Jimmy was, no, your first birthday. Yeah. While that is a historical event, we're not talking about that one. Everybody gives up? Close. Very close. Nope. Well, kind of. Everybody give up? Yes! Gold Star for Chris Klimczuk. February 7th, 1964 was the day that the Beatles flew into JFK Airport. Oh, good. Yes! Why would no one know that? Everyone should have known that, shouldn't you? I mean, come on. Wasn't it a cultural phenomenon of its time? Only to your younger sister? Oh, then this sermon is for you, Dory. So, 3,000 to 4,000 young people went to Queens, to JFK Airport, to get a glimpse of John, Paul, George, and Ringo. During their 9 days in the United States, 73 million people watched the Beatles February 9th, 1964 on the Ed Sullivan Show in New York City. Then they hung out. Some of y'all remember, right? They hung out and they went to the beach in Miami. They took a picture with Muhammad Ali and they performed again in Miami on the Ed Sullivan Show, and another 70 million people watched. Alex Markham described it as a musical, cultural, and social revolution. But for those who remember well, Beatlemania did not have universal praise. Here's some of the responses to Beatlemania in its time. You'll love these. One person wrote, Diane, don't be mad. Diane is a huge Beatles fan. The one person wrote, the most repulsive group of men I've ever seen. One other person wrote, not merely awful, talking about their music, so unbelievably horrible, so appallingly unmusical, that they qualified as the crown heads of anti-music. And here's my favorite from a guy named Paul Johnson. What a bottomless chasm of vacuity, which means empty-headedness, they reveal. Those who flock around the Beatles, the least fortunate of their generation, are the dull, the idle, and the failures. As they sold 1 million copies of their album in that week that they were here, right? See, while the new, interesting, compelling sound of the Beatles was quickly adopted and internalized by some, there were some people of the older generation who dismissed the Beatles and that new era of rock and roll as the, quote, dumb sound. In fact, someone said that the Beatles' teenage sound does not have the technical, glib, heartless perfection of older music. People still in that doo-wop phase. Love that doo-wop phase, right? Simply put, the Beatles were a new thing sweeping the nation and converting open minds into a new way of music and culture. And some of the folks that were used to something else had a difficult time coming on board. The newness of the sound rattled people. It shook up their sensibilities and their long-held beliefs as to what music was. It essentially turned their world upside down, which is just what Miss Mabel read in the Bible scripture passage for today. Paul and Silas and his companions are spreading a new thing called the way at this time. And they were in Amphipolis, and they were in Apollonia, and now they found their way to Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a bustling capital city in first century creation. And what's interesting about Thessalonica is it was a place filled with Jewish people, Greeks. It was a plethora of people, different people, right? So Paul and Silas are on their missionary journey, coming out to see if people were interested in learning more about the way, right? For three Sabbaths, which means for 3 weeks, Paul and Silas were in the synagogue around preaching about something brand new, something that was revolutionary, something different culturally, something different that shook up their sensibilities. A Messiah who wasn't the strapping king, but a humble, lowly servant. So the people gave them about 3 weeks. And then their reputation followed. And all of a sudden, Paul and Silas went from being welcome guests into the synagogues to being public enemy number one and number two. But before that happens, it's interesting that some of the God-fearing Greeks were converted, scripture says, and some of the prominent women were also converted, and that was cool. But then the problem happened when some of the Jewish people started to hear a message of salvation, a message of love, a message where you don't have to atone in a way where you slaughter animals every time you did something wrong, a new way of living. And it just was too much for people to bear. It's kind of like if you imagine a house in 1964 and someone's playing, "I Want to Hold Your Hand," over and over and over, some young teenager, and then the parent finally goes, "Enough! Because this way, this kind of rock and roll, this weird stuff, that's not for me. But I see what it's doing to you. And now all of a sudden, it has to be stopped." So, follow me, Jimmy. In this new understanding of a new way of doing things, what it does is it does exactly what Scripture says. When they're mad and they're trying to find Paul and Silas and put them in prison, but they can't find them, and they find Jason, who's doing nothing other than giving them shelter, they say the classic line. If you translate it in the New King James Version, it translates, "These men have turned the world upside down, and now they're coming here." But the truth is, Paul and Silas weren't turning the world upside down. They were turning their lives. The people in Thessalonica, turning their lives upside down. Which means that everything they knew, everything that they believed, everything that their mama and daddy told them to be true, was now being confronted with the fact that it might not have been true. And we all know there's nothing worse than coming into somebody's life and shaking up everything that they believe, right? Because to the Jewish people, the Messiah was going to be a conquering hero, another David, someone tall and big and strong who could fight off enemies. And he would one day go from warrior to being king. And that Israel would have the second coming where everything was great. They would be the chosen people. No one would ever bother them again. And prosperity and victory and glory would be theirs. But the warrior king Messiah is not a big strapping fighter. He's a lowly carpenter's son. That's not what I was told. I was told that the warrior king Messiah would ride on this big white stallion. Not that he would ride on a donkey. Remember all the tall tales you learned about Paul Bunyan and all these other wonderful things, right? These tales that we went to bed with, that we learned, that we sang songs about. We hold fast to beliefs. So when somebody says, "You may be wrong about everything you thought," is the reaction to say, "Okay, maybe you're right. Or is the reaction, no, you're absolutely wrong. I don't want to hear anything you have to say. Your message isn't worth my time. Go away. That's exactly what the Jews did. Instead of listening to the message, listening to a God who loves them and who desires a relationship with them, not blind obedience, they missed that because the packaging wasn't the way they wanted it to be. If you listen to, I'm not a Beatles fan per se, but for all those older people who didn't want to listen to the Beatles, they missed the message. Like, Can't Buy Me Love, right? Let It Be, all those wonderful songs that the Beatles were trying to start a cultural revolution, get people to think about living different. But they didn't want to hear it because they didn't like their long hair, or they were from Britain, or they didn't like the chords that they played. How many of us miss the message because it's not wrapped in the package that we want it to be in? How many of us have heard things about us, things about ourselves coming from our parents or our friends or our spouse, and we immediately dismissed it because we didn't want to hear it? You can't tell me this. This invades all my sensibilities, everything I knew or thought about everything. You have to be wrong. But that's not what the gospel is, right? The gospel, it very itself is different. Sorry, this is getting on my nerves. It's different, right? Those who will try to save their lives will lose them, and those who will lose their lives will save them. What kind of gospel is this? That's exactly what Jesus Christ is saying. Everything that you know or you hold dear may not be the way it's supposed to be. The music that we already written off maybe has some merit to it. The message of this person who I didn't think was so important has merit to it. If only we would open our hearts and our minds to something new. Change arrests us. It brings out a fear in us. But we miss what that change can do to us and do for us. They chased Paul and Silas out of the city. And some of those Jewish people never understood that there was a God that loved them and would put up with them and forgive their faults and love them even despite themselves. They missed the message. How many of us miss the message because it's not the way we want it to be? What things have to be turned upside down in your life? What long-held principles and things that you just are too rigid to let go of need to be changed because there's something special in the message for you and for me? I'm gonna pick on Kim. I love you, Kim. And I'm not picking on you in a bad way. Thank you, Lord. How many of us were like, what? Right? It's not in the chalice hymnal. All it was three words over and over and over again. Oh, no. Oh, you're being slick. But three words, how many of us would have a problem singing three words for 5 minutes? Let's be honest. But what's the message? The message is somebody saying thank you to God for what you've done for me. We missed the message because it's not the way we want it to come forth. Right? People love this robe. Somebody said to me, I'm not going to say who. When I first got here, I wasn't ordained yet, for those who didn't know. And I would preach in a suit jacket. And then when I got ordained and I got this robe, somebody said to me, I love this robe. You should wear this robe every Sunday. Well, I'm not wearing it. Does wearing this make the message better? No, it doesn't. So just like people have problems with the Beatles in the 60s, people got problems with Christian contemporary worship music right now. But what's the message? Somebody confronts us and doesn't tells us about ourselves in the way we may not like. So we automatically dismiss what they said and we miss the message. Or we won't even allow ourselves to listen and look at new things or things that we don't like, and we miss the message. God's messages don't always come clean and easy and wrapped in a bow. God's messages for us, the messages that help us understand where God wants us to go and who God wants us to be, does not always come from an angel or a dream. I've gotten more messages from homeless people than I've gotten from like seminarians and preachers and professors. The message of the cross turns lives upside down, which means that every single life in this place is supposed to be turned upside down every now and then. When trouble comes our way, when stress comes our way, when our life doesn't go the way we want it to, that's God turning our lives upside down. Because the rut that we're in, the way we want things to come, it's not the way God moves. If I came in here next Sunday with a hoodie on and some Jordans, And I spoke with my New York accent, and I said, yo, every fourth word, would you hear the message? Well, I know my New York people in the back would. Or would you go home and say, what was Richard doing? Most of y'all probably like, what was Richard thinking? Let's have him drug tested. But the truth is, we all need our lives turned upside down. So when somebody comes or something comes that's radical, that's different, that's confrontational, that's oppositional to what you may know or you may like, don't dismiss it. Find the God in it. Man, I'm having trouble with my girl. I'm having trouble with my man. What's God saying in the midst of this? The church is headed towards uncertainty. What's God saying in the midst of it? I don't know what to do next. What's God saying in the midst of it? Because in the middle of it, there's a message for everybody in everything. What did Paul say? Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah that you guys have been looking for. And bit of history, the Jews were literally waiting for the Messiah every single day for hundreds of years, now thousands of years. Through all the oppression, through all the danger, they were like, today may be the day. Today may be the day. And they went home disappointed. But the Messiah, they were introduced to the Messiah, to the one that would change their lives, the one that would heal them from all their iniquity, the one who would love them and comfort them. But because it came from a couple of Greeks who shook up their sensibilities, they missed the message. Don't miss what God is saying to you. And if you don't know what God is saying to you, that means you aren't praying enough. And this is as your lovely minister speaking. If you don't know what God is saying to you, you are not praying enough. What would you have me do? What does next year look like? How am I going to afford this? Where am I going? Where are we going? God has the answers for all of it. But it's up to us to make sure that we don't miss the message. Turn your world upside down. Everything is in a nice bow. Everyone's got everything so rigid and structured. Now, some of y'all have OCD. I love y'all. And that's okay. Right? Look at these boxes up here. Packed nicely. Everybody knows where everything goes. What if I just took the lids off all this stuff and just threw it all together? Some of y'all would have a heart attack. But when our lives are turbulent, it's God shaking us out of our apathy with a new message, a new way to go forward. He loves you, yeah, 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 right? That was a Beatles song. Some of y'all missed that. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I thought that was funny. But don't miss the message. Richard threw off his stole. His stole is over there. His robe is over there. He started fully clothed. What happened to him? Wish I had a tie, but no. But don't miss the message. God wants to shake you out of your comfort zone, out of your apathy, out of everything you know and hold dear and everything you believe. Don't miss what God is doing. Allow it. Welcome it. Be transformed by it. Young people in school, young people working, young people in college, my own kids were watching at home. Don't let your sensibilities be shaken to the point where you can't find God. In the darkest day, the days you feel like nobody understands you, God understands you. The days where I'm not sure that if my prayer is true or it's going to be answered, God knows. What's going to happen in February? The Lord will work it out. But we can't miss the message. Don't be like these closed-minded people in Thessalonica who just want to throw stuff off because it's not what they said. If I had a Christian rap song tomorrow, the message comes through that. The message comes through a kid from Brooklyn, just like it came through Jay White, who was 7 years old and a white guy from the Midwest. Don't miss the message because it comes in a different package. Amen? Let God shake your world up. And when things are different and they seem like unsteady, and you feel like you're swerving and you're moving and you can't find your balance, you can't find your grip, hold on to Jesus. Don't hold on to familiarity. Don't hold on to tradition. Don't hold on to memory. Hold on to Christ. And Christ will see you through. Let us pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for shaking our worlds. Thank you for getting us out of our comfort zones at times. Thank you for the messages that come in so many different ways. Thank you for coming into our hearts and being there, even when we don't realize that you are. Lord, we hold on to so many things. We hold on to what's comfortable and what's familiar. And sometimes we don't even find ourselves willing to go on the other side or to listen to the other side or see the other side. But Lord, remind us that you, this is your world, and you are on the other side. So help us shake up what's familiar. And help us be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. So, Lord, we're asking you in the name of Jesus to hold our hands through the discomfort, to hold our hands when we're unsteady, to hold our hands when we don't know what this looks like anymore. Help us to get out of the comfort of the boat and to walk on water. Because great things lie ahead, and everything and anything is possible to the one who believes. So increase our faith. Move us from ourselves and move us closer to you, so that your message can come through loud and clear, and the abundance that we're looking for will be ours. Keep us on that path, Lord. And when we veer from that path, use the person next to us to get us back on track. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.